actually finished right now, take the text, if you haven't had one. We've been following through the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, and I just want to remind you all that the Mishnah Berurah was written by Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen of Braden, and his dates, I just checked them today, were 1839 to 1933. But he lived very much, although the Mishnah Berurah was written at the end of the 1880s, he was very much alive into what we would call just before World War II. And he was also extremely active on the whole variety of things. The Pesach Halacha that he gave about women's education, so Yishnaya wrote, was in the early 1900s. All right. Now, what I'd like you to do is, there's one issue more that we have to do with, I actually neglected to do at the end of last week's shiur, is on page 14. Okay, halacha hey. Halacha hey. Okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the top of the page. Halacha hey. This is a very important, this is what's called the nylon stockings. Halacha. It's called the nylon stockings halacha. You'll see in a second. Erva ba'ashashit. Erva. Those things that we talk, we categorize as erva. If they are ba'ashashit, we'll see what that is in a second, but ashashit is a glass or is a see-through material. And as you can see, it's covered. It's okay. Technically opaque, and not necessarily opaque.
Transparent.
You can actually see through it. That means the object is covered, but you can see, what? Picturesque, yes. Erva ba'ashashit v'ro'eh otah derech dafnoteh, but he can see through it, through its walls. Asur lekrod kinegda dechti v'lo yera'eh b'cha ervat davar v'hamitchazit. It says there should be not something seen, and you can see right through it. So that's not considered, as far as the halacha is concerned, is not considered covered. Now look at the, go down to the Mishnah Berurah, Chaf Hei, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the end of the Mishnah Berurah there. Mem Hei, Ba'ashashit, He Shel Zchuchit, it's a covering of glass, Beged, or a garment, Dak HaManigir, which you can see through, Ad Shinir Et HaErva, through which you can see either the genitals, or Tefach mibasar isha, or a fistful of the flesh of the woman, the makom shedachal eichud mechuseh, in the area that's normally has to be covered, shegam zehu mikra elva, because this too is considered elva. Okay, uchnirtav le'el b'sif aleph. Va'atzimat inayim shari b'chozel dechuli alma, but closing your eyes would work for this. Even she'erva kaparim mechuseh, because the erva is nevertheless covered. So even though we say if they're exposed genitals, there are some authorities that hold that some authorities maintain closing your eyes is not enough, that you have to turn your back. But in this particular case, closing eyes would be good enough, even if it's referring to genitals, because after all, technically it really is covered. Okay, that's a very important shaila, because what that essentially tells me is that if we hold that shok, or if we're talking about a sleeve, okay, we're talking about, let's say, if zroa is from the elbow up, and we're talking about, so the fact that you're wearing a see-through blouse on the arms area, that doesn't solve the problem. That's not considered uncovered. If you can see through, you can see the flesh, then that hamachat is a problem, because that's erva v'ashashit. The same thing would be true with nylon stockings. That is, if we say that the stocking, that shok is from the knee down to the floor, if you're wearing see-through nylon stockings, that would not solve that problem. That would not, if you hold that shita. So, as we're going to see in a second, we're going to read the Chazon Ish. But if you hold that from the knees down, it has to be covered, then what do? You wear opaque stockings. You can wear stockings, it just has to be, can't be see-through, has to be open. All right, let's now turn to page 16.
The fact that they're form-fitting isn't a problem?
Look, the fact that they're form-fitting is not a problem. I must tell you that, to be totally honest, from the knee down, most poskim don't seem to be too hasty.
And there are plenty of people who wear see-through stockings. They believe their legs should be covered.
I would put it this way. I think that the problem is, the problem with form fitting is not a technical problem of Erva. That's a clearly subjective, for the posting, that's not an objective question. That's a subjective question. Is it everybody? It's covered. Form fitting is a problem of eroticism. The problem is it's sexually distracting or not sexually distracting. Everybody agrees that you can be covered from head to toe, but if you have to peel off the clothing, it's usher, and you could be wearing skirts and blouses and everything. But if it's form-fitting to the point that it is sexually distracting, it's a halakhic problem. Okay? So like for clothing, I mean, it's a problem, you know, dance, I mean, a lot of things.
For whom is it a problem? I mean, the gentleman who needs to read Shema, it's a problem for him?
Oh, that's definitely true, because sexual distraction is a problem.
If it's true
for a woman who wants to daven, who's sexually distracted by a man who's wearing form-fitting, their clothing as well. We haven't talked about women. We'll see.
We're going to see the chazonish, because that's where the question comes in. If he's going to define shulk as the bottom part of the leg, then it would seem that form-fitting stuff.
But I don't think most men are turned down from form-fitting clothing from the knee down.
No.
How would you know? I've watched how women in Meir Shalom dress. They normally do wear long skirts, usually to the mid calf. And then we'll wear stockings. Okay. Now, if that's the case, then they're not. The fact that there's a form-fitting stocking around them from the calf there doesn't matter.
They wear seams.
They wear seams so that you can see that they're wearing stockings. That it should be obvious. That's the only reason. But
what about skirts that are splits? I know. Seriously.
There's a lot of interesting discussion on the internet, and one of the groups that I belong to is called Male Jewish, and they had a whole series on what they call the peekaboo phenomenon. they talked about slits and the problem or non-problem of slits and stuff like that. I mean, slits is a problem, that's all. According to the absolute shita, then to what we've learned till now, it depends how high the slit goes. The slit per se should not be a problem. If the slit becomes with one person on this discussion, it was a very fascinating discussion, well, a peekaboo phenomenon, that is, it may be halakhically uncover an area, but it is because of its catches you off guard, effect, they claim that it was problematic. But most people don't see it as significant. Although I must admit that I've seen, again, I've seen slits in Meir Shearim, which were all fake slits. And what I meant to say, there was a slit, but it was all that. But then they hold shulchos when you down, so through the ankle. So, all right. What I'd like to do is do a couple of pieces. We did at the end of last week's year. We started reading the Chazon Ish, and to correct a faux pas that I made last week, my memory is failing me. The Chazon Ish. Who was the Chazon Ish? The Chazon Ish. The Ish stands for Avraham Yishayahu Kablitz. Okay? His dates are 1879 to he passed away in 1954. He was, again, also lived in the modern period. He was a very, very prominent posek in Israel. Again, he was many, many years in hiding. Somewhere before World War II, the think it was somewhere between the World Wars, Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, somebody asked him, turned to Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski and asked him a shayla for Eretz Yisrael. Chaim Ozer Grudzinski was in Vilna, he was considered one of the scholar of the generation, and somebody said to him, why are you asking me? You should ask the Chazon Ish, or ask her of Kalitz, and somebody said, who? And well, it was in a very short time, everybody knew who Chazon Ish was, and he became, and everybody, all the children from Shimon Eretz Yisrael was asked to the Chazon Ish. Okay, there are several questions that we have to deal with, and the Chazon Ish takes issue with the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, these are all in what we call the absolute scope. Let's look at you see where the letter Chet is on page 16. See where the letter Chet is? Okay. The paragraph just before that, where it says Ule Inyan. Okay, we're going to read the first two lines and the last three lines. ולעניין תפח באישה כתב במשנה ברורה סימן עין ה בשם אחרונים זכרונם לברכה דמהני עצימת עיניים. That it's good enough if a rabbi, for instance, בית נשאר ברכה, this is the Shabbos that came up, I mentioned בית נשאר ברכה, and the woman or the woman around or the collar person is wearing improper clothing and he wants to cast make the Shabbos brachas. So what does he do? So he says, the mahani at simat inayim. It's good enough to close your eyes. Sharei ein zo erva mamash. This is not real erva. By real erva, closing your eyes is not enough. Unless we saw it just so unless it's erva bashashi, which is really covered, then you can turn around. Then you can close your eyes. But no, if it's real genitals, it's not covered, you have to turn your back. However, okay? So that says that closing your eyes is good enough. Now read the last three lines. The lav dafka, three words in. The lav dafka at simat einayim, says the Chazon Ish. It doesn't mean just closing your eyes. It's good enough if he faces away. That is, by genitals, the genitals can't be seen. So in order for that to be seen, you have to turn around 180 degrees. But here, since this is only erva b'darbanan, since the problem is sexual distraction, as long as it's not in my view. So either I close my eyes or I turn sideways. Right? Kol she'ein margeshet ve'uchmo b'mabit chutz l'mayim she'ketav ha'rashba she'ein bo mishum riyat erva. There's a question about if you're in the water and you're naked and you want to do certain things, you'll look out of the water. But in any case, because the water's covering. But in any case, so he says that you don't have to close your eyes, you can also turn away. And I suggest that from now on, when you go to weddings and you see there's a problematic situation, watch what the rabbi does. And you'll be very sensitive to the person that either will close his eyes or he'll in the chasana kala and he'll put the microphone and he'll face this way. I mean, there are all sorts of very interesting things that he can do. Keep your eyes open. All right, next. Okay, we're now in Chet. And now here's the Chazon Ish taking issue with questioning the Mishnah Berurah's definition of shok. Okay, we'll see where the underlining is. That's where we're going to start. Vahai shok, nivet tehu perek hatachton. Is the lower limb, meha'akuva, which is from the knee, ad hakaf, ad kafa, okay, down to the ankle. Adol mina'akuva, the mala, but in the, from the knee above, what?
Till the
sand. He says till the sole, the ad kaf, okay, I guess he says from the sole, from the heel, from the heel. Now the problem is that most of the post game are fully aware, but here it means ad v'lo ad b'chlal. I mean, he means down to the ankle, because the post game are fully aware, especially in Eretz Yisrael, he knows too, but everybody walks around the sandals. And they never asked him walking around the sandals. Okay? And the post game already talked about it. The Mishnah says here that nobody does it, hold it, it's cold. But he says, in a warm kind, everybody talks about sandals. I mean, everybody knows that. Right? So so exactly, but he says until, I think it means ad v'lo ad b'chlal, jure. Avol min ha'akuva ulemala, but from the knee and above, kutsanua bechlet, that is very tsanua, okay? Because that's the upper, that's the thigh, and that's much closer to the genital area. But look, it's the chlashminen. You didn't have to tell me that. That's obvious, says the Chazanish. V'arei katvu ha-ra'avar v'ha-rashbar de-be'ish hu migulay, that by men, the Rav and the Rashba are struggling with the question, you just said tefach b'iksha elva, why do you have to come along now and say shok b'iksha elva after all? What's between tefach and shok? So there must be something here about shok that I might have thought that, according to their analysis, I might have thought that shok would be permissible or more lenient. Why would I have thought so? So he says, by katvu ha-ra'avad v'rashba, the other line and the third line, because by a man it's exposed, right? That this area, whatever the shok is an area which by men is exposed. So you might say, by women, don't know that. That it gets dirty in the course of the working. The kolz ain't of elav perk tachtona. That only makes sense. We're talking about the bottom part of the leg, not the upper part. Avim min akubo namala hu bechla yerech. That's called yerech, the thigh. V'amru ma yerech beseter. The Gemara says the yerech is beseter. The Gemara talks about how the thigh is hidden. Ukvar katvu tosa b'menachot. One second. Ukatvu tosa b'menachot l'amazayin amalal. V'von l'amazayin kiboret. The shok ha'mizkar v'adam haynu perga tachton. Tosa says that shok means the bottom limb. V'chol tefach megule asur. And any tefach in a place that's normally covered is a soul. V'yesh la'ayin v'yad, and you have to look, and now he's asking. There seems to be a certain parallelism. V'yesh la'ayin v'yad. Iperk tachton shebein zro v'agaf v'chlal v'isu v'imahani l'aminam. He says, what about the arm? From the Mishnah Berurah, it seems to be that zro is where? From the elbow up. Now, since I've already done this, that works, that makes sense if you're talking about knee elbow. So that's a sort of parallelism. But if I already tell you that from the knee down is usser, maybe from the elbow down is also usser. That's what he's asking. It's not obvious. The chol tefek v'yesh l'ayin v'yad iperek ha-tachton shebein hazroa v'akach v'chlal yisur v'imahani l'imanadu. Because if it's not usser, absolutely, then that's where minhag applies. It can go up and down, depending on the custom. But Mishnah Berurah siman ayin aleph siman katan bet he killed the perek tachton shel haregel ad ha'akuva b'makom sholchin megulo. And the Mishnah Berurah said that from the knee down is okay, not like I said. Ulamu havei bechalal pritzuk. What I'm trying to demonstrate is not so. That's pritzuk. That's hustler. But al mahani lemanavim, and it doesn't help. Let's stop there. Okay, you see where the underlining begins again? So count up three lines above that, right where the underlining begins, so v'chein nireh. Now in this section that he's skipping, he talks about, there's an analysis about animals, what is considered the shok by animals, what's considered by, is there a parallelism or not, and he argues back and forth. Let's read now, v'chein nireh. But it seems that there's room to be lenient, he says, on the other hand. So he says, Yerech, I showed you all the arguments of Yerech, should mean the thigh, and Shok is the bottom part. But he says, that gives you arguments to the other side. The Chinirah de Imbanu Leso Gam Perik HaKaneh Im Kein Af Mitzato Asu V'lo Nahige Leso Mitzato. He says, look, if a limb is Asu, then the whole thing is Asu. You can't be Mater certain things and Nagel certain things. I mean, when a limb is usher, the whole limb is usher. Okay? V'chein b'makom da'olchot yechefot al-kochem b'gulek tzak t'ar-redaktom. And it says the same thing is true. When women walk with, what you mean? If the arm is usher, you couldn't show this part. And women, he says, they wear bracelets, they wear all sorts of things in this area. If this area is usher, logically, we said the whole thing has to be usher. How do women wear? I mean, it's true they have to wear down. They have to wear down to. So he says they have to wear down to the hand. This is hand. Wrist to the elbow is already. It says the Mishnah of Chazanish. If I hold, there's a parallelism. I mean, elbow down to the hand is usher. Then how do women wear bracelets?
Tefach.
What? Tefach is the how much interferes with Kriyat Shema. It doesn't say you can reveal it with Chatzila. The only thing that we'll see you can maybe reveal with Chatzila is Seir, and that's the announcement of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and it's a separate, unique Shita. No one matters, according to the Akhi school, to show a Tefach with Chatzila. No one. That's why all the big pamphlets in Bnei Brak say, wear your skirt the tefach below your knees, so when you sit down it slides up, well, your knees will be covered. Why? According to what you suggested, it should be winter because of tefach. No, tefach is only what is where it begins to interfere with Krishna. Chila to show tefach. No one matches on that. Except Seir, and we'll see the Moshe Feinstein, why he has this separate case. V'chein, b'makom d'hokot yechefot, where women walk barefoot, or sandals, right? So they don't wear the skirts down to the floor. Their ankles, and part of the skirts are a little bit above it. You can't walk otherwise, you can't catch, right? So he says, alken b'gulot tzakapet of the toes, so part, the lower part of the foot is exposed. Everybody walks that way. He's not denying, he says. So therefore what? And again, you can't say what part of the elim is mutter and the other part is usur. If we hold the answer chikam, if that's shok, the whole thing is shok is usur. And if tefach is not permitted. Umikoza yinira de shoka muskakai, hainu shok sheitzel hayarech. So therefore, according to this analysis, it's not like I just said, but rather the shok is from the knee above, like the way the Mishnah Berurah says. Umashe katab harabat she'enu makom tsanua v'ish. That which he says that it's not a makam tsanua v'ish by a man, because the man, clearly, at least in their time, men didn't wear short shorts. They wore shorts down to their knees. And he doesn't say that. It doesn't seem logical that men wouldn't come there. Efshar devat saloma beveto eno makbid olech megulat tzak v'shok. By a man, he said, in the house, they walk with the shok in front. Ulefize lo nitba'er b'gemara deper ketachton erva. He says it's not clear and it's very hard to be machriya. I would say that if you go through the rest of Mishnah Berurah, I don't want to go through, the consensus of those who discussed this issue of the Mishnah Berurah is the Mishnah Berurah really felt. I mean, he hasn't solved all his problems here, but he held that shok was more than the thought. He felt the choke goes down to the ankles, and if you look in Bnei Brak and Bnei Sharm, the Chazamish held the choke goes down. And generally speaking, if you go through Shulchan Aruch, Simon Dalet, he talks about choke v'yana, it's clear that the Mishnah Shulchan Aruch, every place else where he says choke, he means choke. This is choke, and this is yana. This is the top limb is yana, and the bottom limb is choke. Okay? So that we have a bit of a problem. The Chazon Ish left them with a problem. Because if it is the bottom limb, what do we do? What do we do as far as...
That might tame anybody's,
real
tame
anybody's
way of
canceling. Real thing. No. I'm, yes. I mean...
Yeah, but, they're not so far from where they came from. I mean, look what they're working around and they're touching
Shador.
So this was like a big liberal step. That's what
the person said. You have a whole different belt on show. Because you're not talking from you're a real different worldview. You're gonna when we talk about the relative school in a moment, then you can make your statement. But the absolute school says they dress that way as irrespective of what went on in the world outside them. I'm not asking what you feel is right. I'm an analysis of what the absolute school actually holds. And what you feel we'll talk about, and I'll show you is a halakhic position as well. I'm not deluding your position. We'll see that in a second. All right. Okay, let's now go to the Chazon Ish. The last Chazon Ish I want to read tonight is on the left-hand column, the second verse. Chazon Ish raises a couple of interesting questions. He says, okay, Ubisayah. Ubisayah de mutab tnuya vasu b'nesuah. The hair that's forbidden by Pnuyah is permitted by Nesua, the Chora. And is permitted by Pnuyah, the Chora, lo haya ra'ui le'so, ela bi'isha shehu makira. He said, if you think about it logically, It should only be usher by a woman who you know. That is, you're used to seeing her with her hair uncovered, with her hair covered. Now you know that she's married, you see her hair uncovered. The roata tamid b'seya mechusa, v'chi megaleh hashta chashiv erva. Now it's erva, now because it's improper mode of dress from you, because you know her. Because otherwise, if you see a woman, you don't know whether she's married or not. In fact, you assume that she's a familiar, so why should it be a problem? I mean, you walk out of the street, there are hundreds of women walking out there. How do you know who's a... Why? Because by the cover and the don't cover, that's how you know? And if she was a married woman cover, you know? I mean, you wouldn't know. If you see a woman with her hair uncovered, no idea of a familiar, she should be no different than a familiar. How do you know? Avon no mashma came the poski. It doesn't seem that way in the poski. Ela hachi kavu chachamim. Because when Chazal set up rules, and again, he's in the absolute school, but these are absolute rules. Ela hachi kavu chachamim. The seyar nesua ki medachayevet lechasot asua ke'erva. The Chazal came along and said, since she's got to cover her hair, if she uncovers her hair, we declare it sexually distracted. It's irrelevant whether it is or not. The halacha says you got to cover it, it's got to be covered, and if it's uncovered, it's improper. Okay? Okay, this is, again, the absolute school. The afilu putza, even if it's an immodest woman, she yotzei tamid b'mosha, mosh poro. She always goes out with her hair uncovered. Asul. Right? And you're always used to seeing her with her hair uncovered. D'lo ikilu chachamim b'pritzut. Chazal did not permit promiscuity. V'hei gam panev yadea yesh bev isu b'stakut. Because after all, it's forbidden to have sexual pleasure by staring at a woman's, even her hands and her face. V'yesh makom naso lekot p'yesh ma'av neged panev. But it would make, you might think that it's even forbidden to recreate my in front of a woman's face, exposed face. And the shakol gzeirat chachamim bepele shaklo. But Chazal, when they came along to make edicts, they had to go by the normative situation. They had to make, you know, sensible halachot. So they made general halachot. They did it with a pelas is a measure, the measure that it's a level, correct? You can't make impossible rules on the community. Therefore, they were lenient by a woman's face, her hands, by the hair of a pnuya, which walks around with her uncovered. With an unmarried woman, but a married woman who has to cover her hair, the Chazal ruled, and that's the rule we have to follow. Okay. Now, this is again straight along with the logic of the absolute school. That is, when Chazal said it's usser, it no longer matters anymore whether it's sexually distracting or not. It's usser, and that's what we're about. Okay.
Does this apply to Kriyat
Shema when you have an yes. Yes, it would, because you can't say any Kriyat Shema. You can't do any? Yeah. There's some discussion about learning Torah. Most poskim hold, Rambam, but all poskim hold, that applies to Kriya Shema, to learning Torah, exactly, yes. So you turn, so if a husband is in the New Testament, turn to one. That's one. Okay. Okay. That's the absolute school. The absolute school says that when Chazal came along and said, Shok, Seir, Ko, that Chazal were establishing, and they were these are examples of things that were sexually distracting. And Chazal, now when Chazal made their statement in Merbachon, they became absolute. Sexual distraction is no longer an element. There is, however, a totally different school, and this we'll call the relative school. And this relative school learns the whole Gemara quite differently, and then we'll look back at the Shulchan Aruch, and you'll see that according to that, they would learn the whole Shulchan Aruch. Exactly the Shulchan Aruch. Let's now look through a couple of examples. Let's look at the Aguda. Okay, the first one, next page, we're on page 17. you, and essentially you'll see what I bring, and what I bring to you is the consensus of all the Rishonim. Consensus of Rishonim. Let's look at the Aguda. The Aguda says, I'm bringing you post-game that are somewhere, all somewhere 1200. Okay. Tefach Bisha Elva. Right? And he says, Shok Bisha Elva. The Makom Shederech Lechasat. Look what he's doing. He says what? Shok. He didn't say Tefach B'Makom Shederech Lechasat. What did he say? Shok B'Makom Shederech Lechasat. In the Shok area itself, depends on what normally covered. You see what he's done? He says, what's the problem? When Chazal came along, okay, let's see a couple more examples. Do you appreciate what he just did? He says, he didn't say Shok is absolute. He said Shok, the Makom Shederech Lechasot. In the Shok itself, depends on what's covered, what's normally covered or not. Because Mishmul, this could never happen. Shok, what do you mean, where it's normally covered? Where if the according to him, according to Mishnah Berurah, Shok is from here up. So beyond that depends on custom. But above the knee, that's absolute. That's what the Aguda says. The Aguda says in the Shok, the Makom Shederech Lechasot depends what's normally covered.
How do you know how you define Shok?
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant.
No, I understand that it's a relevant point.
No, it's irrelevant how we define Shok. It's irrelevant. He's telling you in the Shok. It depends what he cut, what she cut. He, the Shok can be down to the ankle and he reveals up here. He doesn't make a distinction.
No, it is relevant. The Shok is only the bottom part and he holds at the
Yerah
is the
top part. If the bottom part is also the top, it's also also. But you mean?
No.
Shok?
If Shok is, if Yerah is the top part and Yerah by definition is always the top part. And if Shok is the bottom part, then right. It's relative to the area which within the bottom part
but he doesn't say no. The Gemara says Shok Bisha Elva.
I know, I'm asking the definition of Shok. And that's
I try to explain to you that as far as he's concerned, it doesn't make a difference.
It does make a difference.
Why?
Okay.
No, no.
Because
the Gemara
says. If the definition of Shok is not Yerah, then it does make a difference.
Everybody agrees, Chazal Ish and Shabura. Let's say the absolute school. It's a Shok Bisha Elva. If you're absolute school, that's Usur. You can't play games with that area. The Aguda is coming and telling you, yes, you can.
You can play games with the Shok. But I'm saying if he defines Shok to be the bottom part, then it doesn't mean you can play games with the Yerach, which is the top part. I don't know if that's
You're right, but he's not discussing it, and that's really not relevant here. That's not the relevant guess, because once you said that Shok is Usur, and then but you say, it's only Usur what's normally covered. In the Shok, what's normally covered. In the Shok.
But what is the Shok?
The point is that the Shok is not absolute. Despite the fact that the Gemara said that, you'll see it.
The area of the Shok is not absolute. Okay, but why is the Shok is a definition? If the Shok is only from the knee down, then we're talking very differently than from the knee up.
No, but let's say the Shok is my finger. Mm-hmm. According to Mishnah Berurah, once I say this is my finger, I don't care whether such a check or not such a check, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I can't play games. It depends if I cover this one, it's not relevant. Comes along, the Aguda says, the Shok is Usur. That's what the Gemara says.
No, but only,
only as much as I normally is normally covered. Which means if she uncovers the whole thing?
Right, if the Shok is the finger, but it's not the hand. It depends how you define the Shok.
That could be.
When Alan says that, there may be parts of the body that have to be covered.
I have no proof. She's right, but I have no proof either way.
No, I started with the question. Do you know how he defines the word Shok?
No. The answer is
no.
Because
Shok, by definition, is
the Messiah. But I can learn one thing from him, that those things in which the Gemara says are Usur, depends on how much is covered.
Yes, I
agree.
I think it's very crucial.
That's
true of
Eva,
for instance.
What?
Right.
Well, that's absolute.
Okay. He's talking about Shok.
And you also have to. Let's work through the Rishonim, and then we'll try to filter out. But this is clearly radically different. Okay. Yes.
When you said
what's
normally covered, is that her decision or the norms of
the
community?
Good question. Oops. Yeah. That's a good question. But there's a relativity here. I mean, it's not an absolute. Let's look in the Me'iri. The Me'iri Beit Hapir 1200. Let's see what the Me'iri says. Okay. Let's read. Tzarich, let's read that. See where the end of line is? Let's read. We start at the beginning of the parable, of the section. Tzarich l'adam shizeh shikrat ha-shema o yitpalel shalo yifnei inav l'shudn davar ha-mevi lidei yiru afilu ishtar. When you're davening, you can't say Torah, you can't look at anything, it will be sexually distracting, even his wife. Amru chachamim riyat tefach b'ishto v'b'chol makom she'in dako l'higalot aseret b'kishma. Looking, he says, see a tefach in your wife at any place that is not normally covered, that is normally covered, and not normally revealed, is aseret b'kishma. Afo pi she'in aseret l'divere Torah. He, by the way, the Meir is the opinion, and this is the Meiri, and it seems that Shlomo Zalman Orbach passing this way halach lemaisa against most of the Rishon of the Achron, that what we said by Kriyashma applies to Divrei Torah too. The Meiri is one of the exceptional Rishonim who says, no, this discussion is only Kriyashma. Doesn't apply. Torah is you can do it. Shariyad gomemet bihu, because the seeing causes sexual distraction. V'chein shok b'isha, v'seir b'isha, ha'ra'ui l'kasot, v'kol shel zemer b'isha. All these things, everybody named Kriyat Shema. Ubilvad, the marsh ain't Kriyatva. That's why all these things, say, oh, show, right? Ubilvad, the marsh ain't Kriyatva, what he's not used to. Avotanea, Yadea, Vagadlea, but her hands and her face and her legs, right? Vagadlea, the Kodi Bura, and her voice. Right, her speaking voice, she'ein lezamer, which is not singing, v'seyah yotzei chutz letzinta, the hair that comes out from the retainer, from her hair. Okay, because they used to, we talked last week, they used to have a retainer on the hair, so the hair that came out beyond the retainer, ein choshish, you don't have to worry about it. No problem. Okay, let's read the Mordechai. The Mordechai said, what?
We didn't see relative to that.
Oh, you definitely did.
But no.
The point is, he's talking about
Kriyat Shema. Might be saying, if you're used to seeing it, then you can still say Kriyat Shema, but
he doesn't say that's the right way to do it. Right. Okay, I'm going to have to take accept resistance. We're talking about, let's go through, and let's think about it, okay? Let's just go see the source, and then together we'll analyze it. Okay, let's now see. Now, again, he talks about, the Mordechai. With the Mordechai, which is on the left-hand side, he talks about Seir and Kol, etc. V'kata v'ravya, I don't know where the underlining is. V'kata v'ravya, kol ha'dvarim shizkanu l'mano l'erva, which are all things he talks about, shok and kol, and everything. Davke b'davar she'en rigilut v'galot, only those things that are not normally uncovered. Avo v'tula ha'rigila v'gilui se'ah, but a betulah who normally uncovers her hair, lo cheshina, we don't have to worry about it. Why? The lake of your work, because there's no sexual distraction, there's no fantasy possible. We have to get used to it. Okay. That's now, there's something else in the bottom of that section, which, let's skip there for the moment. Okay, now, the Rambam, by the way, the Rambam is a very, which says, have on the bottom part of the page over here, this part of the bold print is the Rambam, Rav Moshe ben Maimon, and his Yad HaChazakah. Rambam doesn't mention Shok, he doesn't mention Kol, he doesn't mention Seir, he doesn't mention anything. All he says, right, is the what appears in the last line. Tefach, you see the little samach there? Tefach Megufa lo yikra kenegda. There's a tefach, a woman's body that's exposed, you can't read Kriyat Shema. That's what he said. Doesn't mention Shema, doesn't mention So why? What is the analysis? Why does he mention any of these things? He clearly holds that all of the other things are examples of tefach. The others don't come to teach me anything new. Some are examples. The all the mafreshim struggle with the Rambam. I don't want to deal with this problem that's right now. But I would like you to look down. Is the Samach in the Haggadot Maimoniyot. The Haggadot Maimoniyot is one of the commentaries. These are a collection of various Rishonim and Gaonim according to the Rambam. And the Rambam, and he says, Uperish Baal Halachot Gedolot. You had the little Samach? Yeah, you see it there? Uperish Baal Halachot Gedolot. When did we say Tefach Migufa? They're trying to learn in the Rambam what we now later see in the Shulchan Aruch. But Perish Baal Halachot Gedolot, Hanimili, Ishto, Abel Isha Acher, Adafilu Dabar Katan Mitefach. even though the Rambam doesn't say it. They want to put it down in the Rambam. The chen shol b'isha, the seir, the kol b'isha, kol hani asa the kol kriyishma, kinegda. Perush Rabbeinu Chananel, this is an important Rabbeinu Chananel because it's cited for a deal, the kol, when it says kol b'isha erva, af al gav, even though the ein nevel einayim, even though you don't see the woman singing, here whom we are eaten, because it's still called a second distraction. That is, according to him, here Joan Baez on a record would be Usher. Other Rishonim and Postman disagree. We'll talk about that when we analyze the two Shiton Allah Lamasa. But if you see the Rabbi Nachanana, clearly says that you don't have to see the woman. Rabbi Yosef has a tshuva about if you see the singer, you hear on the radio Rabbi Yosef is Makim. You see on the television, he says it's Usher. Because you see it. Of course, yes, we'll be watching television in the first place. But he says, he makes a distinction, right? Called Sharma between radio and television, because there you see, okay. The Chol Eilabim, so there are other Achronim that disagree with Rabbeinu Chananel, but just, that's Rabbeinu Chananel Shit. Okay, now, the Chol Eilabim, Dafka She'en Regilut Ligal, all these things we're talking about, soul and Seir and everything we said, that's only when they're not normally uncovered. Shein regilut ligalot. Aval, if they are uncovered, and what are the examples? Aval betula hamigila begilui seyar. But a betula who normally uncovers her hair, lo chayshina, we don't have to worry about it. The leka hero, because you're used to seeing it, doesn't cause sexual distraction. The chayn bekola ligalot, the same thing applies to the voice they're normally used to. Okay, turn the page, what?
The
criteria
coming to
being
allowed,
not
the fact
that it
will make a form, make a
form. Why they come to trouble? Yeah, that's what he says. We can stop. I want to bring a few more shitot, but it would just simply say the same thing in different ways. Okay, but let's, why don't we take a stop and see what we've seen?
But the two examples that he brings, no one says nor answer. Seyara
b'pnuya
and a
kol
regio. So
it's
not, I know you just happen to use
regilot,
regilut
l'galot, but I don't. If you were the Mishnah Berurah, or the Chazanish, writing that paragraph, you would have written it cold. It's completely different. Let me tell you how the Mishnah Berurah would have written that sentence. The Mishnah Berurah would have said, v'chol eile dafka she'en regilut l'galot, al betula hamutelet b'gilui seyara. Right? Hamutelet. Doesn't say that. You have to understand that there's a fundamental difference between these Rishonim. Well, you asked another question, which had to do with Kriya Shema and general. Okay, we'll have to talk about this in a second. But let's see what they've said. What these Rishonim are saying to us is that when Chazal came along and said, Seir Bisha, the Shok Bisha, the Chazal are giving examples of that which is sexually distracted. The ultimate criteria is what? Sexual distraction. If it's sexually distracting, it's Usher. If it's not sexually distracting, it's not Usher. Kol Seir Shok Bisha, one is giving examples of what was sexually distracting. But if it's not sexually distracting, for instance, it's a Seir Bisha Erva. Does it anywhere say anywhere in the Gemara, Nuya, yes, Nesua, no? Does it say that, so when it says Seir Bisha Erva, does it say that only applies to Nesua? Who told you that? No. That just tells me that the Nesua have to cover their hair because of Farah Rosh Isha. But that may be midoraita, midrabbanan, because a seir bisha erva, it's also for you to look at a pnuya. Look, excuse me, hold on a second. If hair is sexually distracting, why? It's essentially, I'm asking now the Chazon Ish's question, but from a completely different perspective. What did the Chazon Ish ask? The Chazon Ish says, why should there be difference between a married woman and an unmarried woman? If a married woman goes with her hair uncovered, right? I'm used to seeing her. It's not sexually distracting. She's a prutza. I'm used to seeing her. That's a new. Why should it be us, sir? A prutza mutter? Right? That's what he asked. He says, no, because Chazal said tell you that. But these Rishonim don't say that. These Rishonim say the ultimate criteria is sexual distraction, not what Chazal made mutter or aser. A married woman may be obligated to cover her hair, but it's not sexually distracting, and therefore it doesn't present a problem at Rishonim. We have to make distinctions between what you're obligated to do and whether it has repercussions by Kriya Shema. Right? A married woman may have to cover her hair because it says Vorah Rosh Isha, which means the married woman has to cover. But if she walks with her hair uncovered and it's not sexually distracting, all these Rishonim say it's not a problem because it's not such a thing. It depends on the way you look.
And how can you say
I got my money up.
Yeah.
What do you say?
B'chol
Eile, Seir, and Shok, and Zroa, and everything, Kol Eile, Dak, Geshem, Rigilut, Ligalot. That's only where it's not normally covered. So if it's not normally exposed, so it's not normally exposed, when it now is exposed, I'm sexually distracted. I'm a betula. Had a gila, but a betula who normally walks around with the hair uncovered, that's not a problem, even though hair per se is sexually distracting, but for you, they're not sexually distracting because I'm normally used to seeing them, they're uncovered. What does he say? Lo cheshinen der leke hiru. I don't...
You're
jumping ahead. But they said it. They just said it. They clearly said right here, look, the jump would be to say that since it's not sexually distracting, therefore it's mutter to do. I didn't get to that stage yet. Okay? And I'm going to consciously read. I know that there's tremendous resistance because this is, and I've said it several times, what we learned in the absolute school, that's the party line. Okay? The absolute school, what we saw in the Mishnah Berurah, there's an absolute line, that's a party line. I'm using the word party line, which pejorative. I mean, that's what you learn in all the B'nai Akiva, that's what the B'nai Akiva, that's the majority opinion of the Akronim, and the primary Akronim is the Chaya Adam, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Chazon Ish. Those are the three generations. The Chaya Adam was in the middle of the 1800s, the Mishnah Berurah was the end of the 1800s, the Chazon Ish was in the 1900s, early 1900s. That's the prevalent position that occurred in the Akronish period. I will attempt to argue that there is another opinion in halacha. And you'll see this other opinion is used halacha lamasa. I haven't finished. I just want to give you the analysis now. This opinion has legitimate expression in halacha. You ask me, what do the majority postmen say? The majority postmen hold the opposite.
Which current
Paskin hold the relative school? Okay, hold the relative school? I would say, Yeshua Ber Soloveitch, Rav Aaron Soloveitch, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. I have another the list over here. One second, I'll tell you. Hold the relative school. But they go, Rav Dovah Lazaroff, Rav Yisrael Bashaul, Rav Avad Yadayah. We're actually going to go through a long tshuva of Avad Yadayah. Who hedges, you'll see how he does. We'll see Poskim who go even further than I've gone to thus far. Now, I'm not here to make a claim that they're the majority opinion. I'm just going to say that there's leanings, there's room to move in halacha that was never exposed to you before. And it's based right now on this Rishon. Okay, so let's now read this Rishon. Let's go a little bit further. Let's continue. Okay. Now, what you have on the next page, on page 18, is the rush. Okay? It's a lot of little print, I apologize. But I think it's important for you to see with your own eyes the sources that when a posek goes through the sugya, what he's dealing with. The rush lived in the 1300s. The rush lived in the 1300s. Okay? He's at the end of the Rishonim period, He's sort of summarizing, he's drawing both from the Rambam, who lived in the 1000s, and Rashi and Tosos, who were in the 1100s, 11 and 1200s. He's bringing together, he's not sort of as a funnel. His son is the Bala Turim, which is the end of the Rishonim period. End of the 1300s, end of the Rishonim period. And the Shulchan Aruch is the next generation, beginning of the Achronim period, summarizing everything that happened. He is essentially one of the major pillars of Pesach Derush. And let's see how the Rush phrases it. And then we'll see two of the major commentaries on the Rush, which is of importance. Okay? Lamed Zayin. We're on the second column to the left. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Tefach Bisha, Erva, Lamai Hilchata, Ile Melesta Kuli. But merely, he's merely rephrasing the Gemara, saying the Gemara. Ile Melesta, if this Lear at her derives sexual pleasure, Vamrav Sheshet, Lama Mana, Katuf Takshitim Shabifnim, Takshitim Bachut, why does the Gemara, by the pillage of Midyan, mention all mentions the chastity belts together with the outer jewelry? Lomalacha komish mistakel betz b'ktana shal isha kili mistakel b'makamotu. A man leers at the outer, even her finger, which is normally exposed, but he does attempt to derive sexual pleasure. It's looking at her private parts. The Gemara says, lo kasha, no question. Haba cheret v'haba ishto l'kriyashva. When does the Gemara say Tefach Bisha Erva, that refers to his wife for the recitation of Kriya Shema, that you need that. But for someone else, you need even less. V'davar sh'ragil liyot nechusa b'isha. And we're talking about what? That which is normally covered by a woman. That's the Tefach that we're talking about. V'davka ba'acheret, that's talking about explicitly by some other woman. Aval ba'atzma, but if she herself is exposed, she can be exposed, right? But a woman can be naked and make bracha, provided that her privates are covered. Okay, that's what the Rush says. Now, okay, that means that as far as a woman to herself, she's totally naked, but if her privates are covered, she can make bracha because it's a matter of sexual distraction. So if her shul and sarah and everything is exposed, then that's no problem. Okay, now what I want to read with you is the commentary called the Divrei Chamudot. Okay, it's this one, a tiny, tiny, tiny one. I apologize, even though it's with continual full letters. Okay, just bear with me, I'll read it. I apologize. Okay, the very last, the long line over here, just where it says, Bab Divrei Shmuel, and that beginning of that line. Are you with me? No. Here, right over here. I mean, it's checked. What does he mean, the things that are normally exposed? What are things that are normally exposed? That's her face, her hands, and her feet. Okay, but some of the foundation we have to explain, the shoka ain't bechlar ragleh, the shok, versus shok, so that's not part of her foot. So foot means ankle down. Or that, however you're going to learn shok. Midikatav, al shok the command. The tzricha shmina, that he has to teach me, afal pi shebe'ish megula, even though by a man is coming. Turn the page. Don't worry about it. The Moshka brother, Yom Tov, the obtained gam zvotei, not the fire, so her arms, her zvot, also the part of her hands. Okay, now, where the interline begins. Okay with me? Umistaber, it would seem. We just finished talking about shok and zvoa. Now he goes on. Umistaber, we're on the right-hand column underneath the Rush. Okay, what's underlined? The kol makom umakom lefim inago. Every place follows its custom. The midei hutama, because after all, what is its reason? Ela the dvarim shelgilah shaloda kasotam. Those things which he does not normally cover, lo mikrei erva. They're not considered erva. They're not distraction. Mishum dal alo ati beili day b'chul. The word b'chul means alo ati beili day b'chul. That's the word that's missing. Kiven the ragil b'chul, because he's used to it. Ukin le kaman, as we're going to say a little bit later on, by kol and seir, that we make a distinction between, in kol itself we make a distinction between her singing voice and her speaking voice. And by seir we make a distinction between kriya and ben nesua. Why do we make these distinctions? Because since they're exposed normally, they don't present a problem. Okay.
Who's
It's the lechem. It's the, one of the very famous posts in the 1700s.
So it's not the Rosh.
No, it's not the Rosh. No, this is Zachron.
And Kanal before with the Rambam. Wasn't the Rambam who?
No, it's Rabbi Elchanan. Rabbi Elchanan is called the Rambam. No, it's not the Rambam. I didn't say the Rambam. He quotes Rabbi Elchanan. I don't know how to quote Rabbi Elchanan. Rabbi Elchanan was the end of the Gaonic period, the beginning of the Rishonim. It was North Africa. Okay. Yes.
A man is talking at home. His wife decides not to work, he's still washing home, and he decides to go daven. The question is, he has to daven with his eyes closed, or does she have to cover her ears?
Okay, if you hold the absolute school, he's got to close his eyes or turn away. If he holds the relative school, he's used to seeing her, their hair uncovered, and she doesn't wear her hair covered outside, so there's no problem. She can daven with his eyes open.
The question was, does she have to cover her hair because...
Excuse me. That's a different question for what does he have to
do. I'm telling you.
According to the absolute shita, it makes no difference if it's not sexually distracting. The halacha is this usher. He's got to cover her. She's got to cover her. He can't look at her.
He's looking at her.
It's his problem, not her problem. It's his problem.
It's his problem.
It's the absolute shita. If it's the relative shita, right? It's not a problem. Because the ultimate criterion is sexual distraction. There's a redeemer. There's no problem. I have you confused?
No, I don't know.
But wait.
The only dispute with the sexual attraction is this.
If a woman is knocks on the door and comes in, let's say it's his wife's girlfriend, and she usually covers her hair, but she's not happy. She doesn't cover her hair now, and so he's so. If you hold the relative school, let's move it this way. We have to start something. You're trying to force me into giving you guidelines, and I'd be more than happy to do that. A lot depends on what goes on, what he's used to, what goes on the street. If he's used to seeing women with their hair uncovered, then it's not such a distracting for him. Even if she normally covers her hair.
My point is that if he's not here, he should be in Kavana and just...
Right. Why should you're asking, she should be in so much Kavana, you should see her. How do I?
Even with the absolute school, yes. Isn't a woman in her own home like Petula? No, she's not obligated. No.
Lishto Lepriyashma. The Gemara says Lishto Lepriyashma. You have to understand, in many ways, your wife is less sexually destructive, and more sexually destructive. And a lot of posts can say you should never daven in your bedroom, even if everything's all right. So, I mean, there's yes and no. I mean, it works the same way.
All right. Not keep
swarming. That's only swarming, but that's right. If you have a cubbyhole, you can sit in the
cubbyhole.
Yeah, but one room, right? You have a lot of classes, cubbyholes, you can cover them up. The rules. There are rules about it, what to do. Right. Okay, let's do one last thing. I want to do two last things. I've been asked, and I will try to do keep the shiur under before 9:45. Okay, so let's keep moving. Actually, I was asked to stop at 9:30. No way. It's kind of moving slowly. Okay, let's now do. What I want to show you a dissenting opinion, a very important, the Tiferet Shmuel, the bottom here. The Tiferet Shmuel. Okay, it's very small, it's underlined. He is of the absolute school, you'll see. You have to see. It's not clear, but we'll work on it. The double sharigil liyot mechusevish, the way it was normally covered, okay? Perish. What does that come to exclude? Perish. Lafuke mashadok lashim liyot megulet. You go, nafanim, vatsambaba nek, and the adayin, aval nirebe inai. But it would seem to me. Okay, and then we're on the bottom again, what's underlined. Page 19 at the bottom. The mekel, those women are mekel, should be lot anashim the galot zvotayim. They go around sleeveless. Ogilia patuach ad samut ladadea. And they're wearing their dresses near down to their breasts. Zen minagra. bad custom. The kore ani bahem chukim lo tovim. Not bad. These are bad rules. The tepach b'yisrael. Now, it's not clear whether he's saying you pushed it too far. Let's say it was down low, but it didn't go plunging. He might have not objected. It's not clear. But he says tepach b'yisrael. It's not clear. See, he might be saying as follows. He says, even if you hold the relative shita, right, if you get down too far, it's a limit. That's what maybe saying. Other one argue, no, he holds the absolute shita. But I could argue, no, he really holds the relative shita. But he says, even the relative shita, how far can you get used to it? We're going to come talk to this. The relative shita doesn't matter everything. And the ultimate criterion is what? Sexual distraction. Okay?
He said minhag ra. He didn't say asur.
Well, then he says tepach b'yisrael. Okay, let's now turn the page. 20. There's the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan was written again at the end of the 1800s. Okay, he postdates the Mishnah Berurah. We have some of the points that he actually saw the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, so first these parts of the Mishnah Berurah out before he wrote his commentary. He doesn't go. The Mishnah Berurah, as we saw, goes, the Shulchan Aruch is a running commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. He reworks the whole Shulchan Aruch. Everything is worked in together in sort of a homogeneous style. So there are two things that I want to point out to you. First of all, let's read what's actually relevant to our discussion, which is Zion. Okay? So in Zion, it's on the left-hand column. Okay? Vata bo unitzaveyach. Now, you have to understand why this carries a lot of weight, because he is like the contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah. You know, these are the two poskim in the yeshiva world. These are very considered competitors of whatever the poskim. In the yeshiva world, they very often say Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah. That's only true if you come from Bnei Brak, because the Chazon Ish said Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Elia Henkin, all these poskim, where there's a choice, that there's a contradiction between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, they pass on the Aruch HaShulchan. So you have to understand that he was considered a major heavyweight in Psak. Okay, Vata, that's now. Bo unitzaveach al pratzot dorim. Let's come scream about the pritzos of our generation. Vavonotinu rabim shezeh shanim rabot shenifritzu b'nei Yisrael, because there are many, many years that there was a break in the wall amongst the Bnei Yisrael, the daughters of Israel, with this sin of Erva. There were women who went around with their hair uncovered. Oh, yeah. Oh, it started earlier. It started in the 7th century. And these low-cut dresses, that's all French Revolution stuff. I mean, the Tiferet Shmuel is in 1790. He's struggling with what's going on with the styles of the French Revolution. Okay? V'holchot v'gili rosh, v'kol meshet tzaku al zeh hu lo le'ezer. And actually, they screamed and hollered, it didn't help, they just went ahead.
These were women who
were still involved? They were women, yes. You have to understand. I mean, let me just bring something to your attention.
I mean, now we take that for granted. There's no such thing.
That's right. Everybody. You see chuvos in the postgame. In the Sephardi poskim up until the modern period, how did it relate with prostitutes in the community? Because they were closed communities. We Ashkenazim were put into a situation, like in Shimshon and Rosh, to be self-selected. You know, you opted to be in an Orthodox community. The Sephardi community, everybody was together. They dealt with everybody until this day. I mean, people, you know, they haven't lost their youth. They may be kids, you know, look like they, you know, the long chains and the maybe pushtaki look, but they'll come into shul and they'll sing shir shirin like the bird of paradise. I mean, they.
Well, what's the problem that you get filled in
Spartan
and go to mitzvah, and you don't get
the right, exactly. Okay, the low, and we hollered and screamed. Okay, we ended the third line. The low, lowia, fourth line. The atap asatam espachan, and the. It is lame that it's the word term you use by tzarat. And the illness has spread. Shanesuot holchot b'sarot kamo abtulot. And the married women go now with their hair uncovered like the betulot. Oy lanu sh'ovta b'yameinu kach. Woe upon us that it happens to us. Mihu, however. Al kopanim l'dina nireh shemuta lanu l'tpadel ולברך נגד השם המגולה. Even though it's usher, he's going to say, no, it's usher. We'll see. Okay, we haven't really fleshed out, but we know, because of Farah Rosh Isha, she's got to have her cover, but nevertheless. Mil, Rashen HaMagulot, Kivan Sha'ata, Ruban Ochot Kach, since they go that way, Hava Kimakomot HaMagulim, it's like the other places in the body which are normally exposed. Ukumosha Katava Mordechai, Vishem Rav Yah, Vesel Per Gimel, Vesel Hashem, this is what he said, Kol HaDvarim Shizkalu Ne'erva, Dafka B'davar Shem Ligilu, Dava Petula, Vigila, Vigilu, Seyav, Lo Chashin and Deleke Hiru, Ad Kavah Shano. So he says, all these things, he says, well, these married women are walking around with their hair uncovered, that's just like the Petula there. Kiva, She'etzleinu Gam HaNesu'a, okay, since now the married women are doing it as well. Mimela Deleke Hiru, so there's no sexual distraction, so there's no problem. He didn't say it's mutter. I'm not saying yet that it's mutter. I'm saying, what the Archbishop is saying, is that Regilu helps. It doesn't prevent it because there's no sexual distraction. There's no sexual distraction. Okay? Now, okay, my time's up, I'll stop here. But
I'd love to. Are you going to meet next week for
Hanukkah? Next week is Hanukkah already?
Yeah.
I guess we won't meet. Okay, we won't meet, but we'll continue. We'll continue on the week after that. But the point I'm trying to make is, then you know what? Give me one more minute. Hey, because I do not want to come back. Hey, but look at A. Now this has to deal with the question of a woman looking at a man. Hey, okay, but go back on the previous side. Previous side on the second column of the sixth previous. Hey, v'yesh l'stapek im v'sha'a isha l'kod k'ishma l'varek neged tefach megula b'ish v'mokom ha'mutzna. The kamosha asur l'ish v'isha, kamochen asur l'ish v'isha v'ish. Maybe why not man? Just as sexual distraction is forbidden for a man to a woman, so a woman to a man. Oh, dilma, or do we say, the v'ish shayach hiru tfei mi b'isha? Or do we say no, that by a woman, we worry less about sexual distraction then we worry about a man. The chain mash mea poskim shelo nizkiu din ze. And they said that's what it sounds, that's in general term. We haven't mentioned this. That is, by generally speaking, we don't know. The point is as follows. If a woman is sleepless, okay? And I'm assuming that they're the opposite of school. And a man looks at her. Okay? He doesn't have to be sexually distracted. Halacha says, don't look at her because you may be sexually distracted. Right? You may be sexually distracted. It doesn't have to be objectively. But maybe. So then we assert it because it leads to sexual distraction. By a woman who sees a man exposed, he's walking around with his shirt off. Okay? She's not sexually distracted. Do we say, don't daven in his presence because you may be sexually distracted? Do we say the same thing? So the Aruch HaShulchan says no, because this is the general position of Allah, that women don't become sexually distracted, don't fantasize as readily as men do.
That's exactly where you were talking about before, where it falls down by the influence of men and the body being men. You know, a shlub standing with his shirt off, so it's not sexually distracting. But you get some of these erotic men standing with his shirt off.
Excuse me, you're not fair. Because if she is sexually distracted, it's definitely awesome.
What
does
it say?
I explained to you that the problem is maybe if she's definitely distracted, of course it's usher. You can't talk it that way. That's what you're going to have at the bottom. Everybody agrees to that. Anyway, the question is, do we go one step back? She is in a position that could be sexually distracting. Do you not daven in that situation? So the halacha says, if it's a man by a woman, yes. If it's a woman by a man, we don't worry because women don't normally become sexually distracted by such things. And then the chazal, we're more make of her. But if she is sexually distracted, of course she toss her. That's obvious. That isn't, he didn't have to say such a thing.
If it might be for a woman, why isn't it the same?
Because it might be
in the same way as it might and might not be for a man.
Okay. What can I tell you? I just, I keep going back to the history board that everybody said was supposed to be. The general position of the halacha is that a man becomes, and again, this is what Kinsey said, and I remember reading with parts of psychology, that a woman.
Yes.
So he was, but what I did prove that these are things I'm much more societally determined than he maintained. But it is very clear that for men become aroused by fantasy alone. For women, foreplay is much, much more important. And that is that was definitely shown. So that the question is, how much do I usher on people based on the fear that they become sexually aroused? So the person said by a man who tends to be aroused by fantasy alone, the halacha was much more strict. By a woman, if she's aroused, that's a halakhic problem. If she's not, it's not. But we know that seems to be the tendency of the person. That's what the author says.
But what you're saying is that women from the men.
You can argue what you want to, but it seems to me that the reason why women are sex objects is because sex objects involve is because of this factor. Because men become aroused by fantasy alone. Women generally don't. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, and I'm fully aware of people who make a good living from it. But it's not the normative situation. It's not the normative situation. And I love that it works based on the normative situation. Yes. Good night. So next week.
Next week, we have 2 weeks.
2 weeks, we'll be there 2 weeks.